Well, good evening, church.
Good evening.
Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a rainy Sunday night, and hope everyone's had a good afternoon. And while I'm thinking of it, we need to put up prayers for whoever's in that accident right up the road right there. It looks like a motorcycle accident.
And, is that the one you was talking about?
Yeah, it don't look good, so want to keep that family in their prayers or that individual, so. Anyways, let's stand and sing a song to the Lord. Let's sing number 516, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
That you could take a good long nap today. Tonight we'll be beginning in Exodus chapter 20, I believe it is, verse 2. But what we're going to do is we're going to begin to look at the 613 laws of the Old Testament. And we know that, like we preached about this morning, that you don't add anything to the gospel. There's nothing needed to be added to the gospel, but as we've been looking at the Thus Saith the Lord, I thought it would be a neat idea to go through some, if not all, we'll at least look at some. I think Brother Roy and them didn't get one. And to see just how easily scriptures can be manipulated, or were they manipulated? Were they actually interpreted right? And so tonight we're going to be, we'll look at, I've got 20 here. And they're a little bit in a different order than the sheets I gave you the other night. The other night they're in biblical order. Here it's in the way that they deem them as priority. And so we'll be looking at, we'll read the commandment, then we'll read the scripture, we'll determine if it's the thou shall or thou shall not, the positive or the negative. Then we'll decide if the interpretation that is rendered of that scripture is accurate. And if it is, then is it something that we should apply to our life today? You know, because, like we said, it's not about works. We're not saved by our works, but we're saved unto good works, and we're to emulate our Savior. But if you're watching by Facebook tonight or you're listening by radio, it's good to have you. Thankful that you've made the effort to come out and know that you could be anywhere worshiping, and you've allowed us to take part in it. And so we find that, I find that a very humbling position, and am grateful that you have put a little bit of confidence in myself and Thomas Village Baptist Church. But we would like you to come and be with us. We'd like to worship with you and celebrate with you. There's something about the Spirit of God as it brings us together. But do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Amen. You could hear that holy hush this morning. Did you notice how it just would get quiet every now and then? Just, you could hear a pin drop, or I think that's when it gets so quiet that the Spirit is speaking within. He's talking to us on the inside, and so He hushes everything on the outside so that His voice will be amplified in our spirits and in our souls. Tonight, in the way of prayer needs, before we get into our study, we do want to continue to pray for Sister Carol Edwards, Matt Smith, Brother Wayne Bledsoe, Sister Linda Arwood, Paul Stapleton, Frida Hester. This is the mother of a gentleman that I met through Recovery Through Christ. He lives over in Pennington, and I've run into him on Friday night and run into him again today. And that's not a coincidence. And come to find out, his mother is, she has some kind of infection in her spine called dysentritis or something like that. But also she has, what is it when your skin burns and all? Your skin. You don't see it. You know, you don't. Fibromyalgia. She has fibromyalgia. She has diabetes, and her kidneys are shutting down. And so, if the Lord doesn't touch there, it's just a matter of time when the kidneys begin to do that. We want to pray for Miss Pam Savarsky. We want to continue to lift up Jesse Bull, as already been mentioned, the wreck. Only God can bring out some of those things. Continue to pray for our float prep, and then also you heard the request for people to ride or to walk with. Pray for worship in the field. Also, our new church year as it begins next, it'll begin middle of this week, actually, as we hit September. We have some, if you've not looked in the bulletin, there's a list of some areas. Praise God, it looked like some of them's been filled up, so we thank God for that. And then, did the Awana teacher get filled up? Do we know if it got? Oh, okay. So still need one for Trek there. Are there any other prayer needs that we can add to our list tonight? What was that? And Brother Johnny.
He's in the hospital with cancer. They're not suspecting him to live for the last couple of nights.
Mm.
And also, my son-in-law, Joe, his brother-in-law, Barry Wolf,
mm-hmm.
they found his father
Family. Sister Donna, did I see your hand?
It was a
flower. Oh, was it? Beelzebub was messing with you? I'm telling you, I mean, it's been rough this summer with that. That's the third or fourth I've heard about this summer, and we're moving into winter, and fall's coming, and you know that it's harsh when it comes to depression and anxiety and. Oh my goodness. Young men's hearts will fail them. That's what Scripture says. For what's going on is what it says. Anyone else tonight? We'll do it. And then also Miguel Santos, as we remember that. Brother Frank? We'll do it, brother. Anyone else? The altar is always open and never a better place to be found than on the altar. But I'm going to ask Brother Frank, if he would, to open us up in prayer and then lift up all these needs, but also the Holy Spirit be with us tonight. Amen. Now, as we again talk about the 316 laws, as we discuss that there's 200 and some odd, I think it's 285 that are positive, and then there's 300 and some odd that is a negative, meaning the positive is that you shall do this, and the negative is you shall not or do not do this. And you remember, as we've discussed the law, and we've talked about that some people, a lot of people, especially if they've not studied Scripture very much, they do not recognize that in the Old Testament, what we see there is three different aspects of law. You have the moral law, such as we find in the Ten Commandments, that is for all men. The Bible talks about how it's been written on the tables of our hearts. You know, I mean, it is one thing. Another way that we've been made in the image of our God, that we know that killing another person is wrong. I mean, that is basic, you know, human 101 for most cultures. But then there's also national law. And that's one thing that I noticed as I looked through these different laws this week. Some of them deal with how they're to deal with other nations. specific nations. I mean, you're not to engage with positively with certain ones. You know, I mean, it's the there's a certain animosity, there's a resentment, and it again it illustrates how that God and man are at enmity with one another. You have God's people, and as God's people, they are not to intermingle with the ungodly. But then there's also the ritual or the religious laws. And we'll see certain things about that. And what we have to remember on that aspect is the Bible teaches us that in the Old Testament, the way that it was set up with the temple and the tabernacle, that it was a physical representation of what's going on now in the spiritual realm. Just as we have in the physical, you have the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was, and that is a representation of the throne of God, where Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand of the Father, and the blood of the Lamb is always at that on the mercy seat. And so as we see the religious aspects of the law, the ritualistic, you might say, there's still something for us to learn in that. There is something there that we just don't need to pass over. Because just like with the Passover is a picture. Did y'all know this? That every plague that happened in Egypt when Pharaoh rejected and allowing the Hebrews to leave, did you know that every one of the plagues was a direct attack and a victory over the God, one of the gods that they served? I mean, one of the, like the frogs. One of that was a picture of their fertility goddess. And she had the head of a frog. And so when you see those things, I mean, it is a beautiful picture, but we can miss that if we say, well, the Old Testament's irrelevant. We don't need any of that anymore. Yes, yes, there's a lot for us to learn there. So tonight, again, as we look at these, we may not get through all 20, but we'll begin at least. We're going to read the commandment. Then we'll read the scripture, and I'm going to let you guess whether it's a positive or negative. I don't think it's going to be that hard, and I'm also going to let you guess what the blank is, okay? See if you can fill in the blank there. And then we'll decide if the interpretation of this law is correct. Now, I will say that the majority of the first ones, yes, they are a very good interpretation, but there's going to be some that you can see are a manipulation. And then we'll decide, you know, as Christians, should this be displayed in our lives? Should this be is it a emulation of our Creator? You know, is this something that we should do? Okay, are you ready? All right. The first one is to blank that there is a God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. So what do you think the blank is there? To acknowledge, to know. Yep, to believe. That's it. To know that there is a God. To acknowledge that there is a God. That there is someone, there is a deity above you. And we're living in a time where, I mean, especially with evolution, what we're seeing is that we're the pinnacle of creation on this earth. But now, notice what's happening. With all the UFOs talk and all this kind of mess that we might, okay, we'll give that there may be a higher species than us, but we're still not going to acknowledge that there is a God. That is the condition of man. The direct rebellion and rejection of a God. So, with this one, to know that there is a God, is it a positive or is it a negative? It is a positive. It's something that we need to do. And again, recognizing that there is nothing we do to earn our salvation. Is this something that is needed in the life of a believer today? Yes. Amen. Matter of fact, it's not only needed in the life of a believer, it's needed in the life of a country. It's needed in the life of a home. It's needed in the life of a church. I mean, we even have churches today that do not acknowledge a God. You know, and that's the good thing about the beginning point. If you acknowledge there is a deity above you, then there's hope for you to come to the understanding of Christ Jesus. All right, the next one. Someone read Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Man, you looked that up fast, buddy. Okay. And that if right there, after the blank, is supposed to be of. My fingers missed. Not to blank of another God besides the true God. Now, this one's going to be kindly one. I'll give you it. You want to try? Entertain the thought of worship. Exactly. Do not allow our minds to even creep over into the idea of there being another deity on the level of the one true God. You see, that's where we begin, like we talked about this morning. The if 50 some odd percent of professing Christians saying that at least one other religion can lead you to eternal life, that means that their mind has had to entertain the thought that there is another God on this same level as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, so is this a positive or a negative? Notice that first word. There you go. There you go. There, you look for the do's and the do nots. That's going to be the key there. So, would it be for us today, as Christians, is it for us to entertain the thought of other gods? I kind of went ahead of myself, I guess, right here. But is it? You see, therein's where the devil can get into our mind and play. Remember what he did with Eve. He manipulated the scriptures and then got her to questioning the word of God. Did he really say? And that's the same way he'll do for us. All right, number three. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay, what do you think the blank is there? Now we've had that there is... to know that there is a God, now we need to recognize that there is what? How many of them? To know that the true God is one. And that's where, like I told you about the individual this morning who said that Christ was not God. The problem is that he cannot come to grips with the deity, with the Trinity. And we are one body, one spirit, one soul. And so everything our human brains try to, when we think about things, that's all we can come to. We're locked into it because of our finite brain. But God is bigger than our thinking. He's bigger than our reasoning. And he can be three persons, yet one deity, one God. I don't have to make it make sense. All I have to do is place my faith in that. Okay, so to know that that the true God is one, is that a positive or a negative? Amen. And then, now, is that something that which should be in our lives today? Amen. Amen. There's going to be something that we're going to have to talk about here in just a second. All right, someone read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Okie dokie. Thank you, sister. Okay. Now, can somebody fill in that blank? To blank the one true God. To love. Amen. Doesn't this seem so simple, though? I mean, but it seems simple to us, but it is foreign on the outside of these walls. It is something that people go through their day. I mean, you think about it. Even on my worst days, many times I have to be corrected and God has to remind me of how blessed I am. But then in that reminding, in that correction, in that rebuking, there is a love that I have inside of me that just can't be contained. I can't explain it. But there's people who go through there every day, never consider God, never think about the blessings they have. Matter of fact, we're living in a society where the victim is the role that's always played. And when you're the victim, if you feel like the deity that's above you is against you, are you going to love him? No, no. Okay, would this be a positive or a negative? Look at here. We're going to eat up them positives fast, ain't we? But we're going to be left with them. Okay, Deuteronomy 10:20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. Okay, anybody want to take a guess on the blank there? Fear. To fear the Lord. What is an example of our society not fearing God today? What has become, what is happening in our society right now because there is no fear of the Creator? I mean, literally, the lines are being drawn right now. When you say that there is no gender, when you say that you can just choose whatever you are, when God says, let us make them male and let us make them female, there is no fear of God who has defined, created, and established what the roles of man and woman are. And yet, we live in a world where you can define and declare yourself to be any gender. But if you're to say that you're another race, people look at you crazy. So that is such a hypocritical world in which we're living in. Okay, to fear the one true God. Is this a positive or a negative? Positive. Should this be something that we live out in our lives? Amen, it should be. Now, some people would like to say that this just simply means to reverence, to respect. But I'm going to tell you what now. You best fear him. And you meaning quake in your shoes at times. Is a scary thing. The wrath of God.
I was talking, but I think it was Brother Brian the other day. And, you know, back when our nation was a Christian nation, when you saw the earthquakes, the fires, the tornadoes, the pulpit declared that perhaps this is the wrath of God. And I mean, as we see, we can say it's conspiracy, but we're seeing more and more fires. We're seeing stronger and stronger hurricanes and storms like that. I don't think there's any question that the earth is groaning for the Lord to return. But yet also, I believe it's the hand of God. I mean, when you look down in Brazil, they did Carnival this year, and it was demonic as it could be. What happened? You remember? A flood killed many. I mean, like a day or two after Carnival. They literally had floats depicting demons, celebrating the demonic, making fun of the crucifixion. One of the floats had the crucifixion, but yet it had demons all around it. You know, like the celebration of the death of Christ. So, all right, number six. To blank or set apart his name. Somebody read Leviticus 22:32. Two words could fit here. One of them is an S word, ends with a Y. Sanctify. To sanctify or to set apart his name. And remember, we discussed a few weeks ago using the Lord's name in vain and how we can use it in an empty manner. But then there is the complete opposite, like we talked about this morning, that there is never a bad time. When you're, whatever season you're in right now, to lift up the name of Jesus. Something about it. I promise you, we can be praying in here and just quietly to myself, I can speak his name and I can feel his presence in our midst. There's other times where we'll be in the hospital room and I've seen it, me and Brother Keith, just a few week ago, there was an individual that was just
down, out, a little bit gruff, and we prayed with them in the name of Jesus, and the whole mood in that place changed. So, is this a positive or a negative? Positive. And do we need to practice this in our daily walk?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, these two go hand in hand. If you see, it's the same verse, correct? So what we're going to see that in this verse, what the the rabbis have done is they've broken it up into two aspects. You are to sanctify, or you to set apart the name of the Lord, but it goes on to say, you shall not what? Profane my holy name. So what do you think the blank would be there in verse 7? Or number 7? Profane. Exactly. We shall not profane the name. And so I don't quite understand why they would do it like that, but it does show the seriousness of when which they took the commandments. You can't do one and not do the other. So would this be a positive or a negative? All righty. Good job. Okay, now let's think about this one, okay? Deuteronomy. Now, let's just go and decide. Do you think that this one is a positive or a negative? It's do not. There you go. Right off the bat, we can go ahead and make that call. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 12, specifically verse 4, but we need 3 through 5 so that we have the context. And ye shall overthrow the altars and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord God, the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. So, anybody want to take a guess what the blank is? Do not blank things associated with his name. Destroy. Do not destroy. So, we live in a time where we don't think much about graven images, right? But we're also told that there's not to be any graven images when it comes to the worship of God. We're not to try to make him in the image of something, nothing out of the sky, nothing of the land, nothing of the sea. And so, how would that play out in the days of society? Would it be to vandalize a church house? Okay, how about burning a cross? You see, these are things that are accepted and declared, especially the burning of the effigy of the cross. That's been declared as religious, you know. But he says, don't vandalize, don't destroy it. So I think there's a fine line here, a very fine line, because we see sometimes that the cross has become, it's lost its actual meaning. The cross is a picture of suffering. The cross is the picture of a burden. It's a picture of our salvation, yes, but it can be manipulated very, very bigly. So do you think this is something that we should live out? I do too. And here's another thing. What about burning other versions of the Bible? There are churches that do that. If it's not a certain version, then they'll have a Bible burning, and because it's... I'm going to tell you this. If God can save somebody with a gospel tract, he'll save anybody with any version. Amen. But you see, there's some things that I think that going through this, it can make us think about, can't it? Make us consider, you know, where we're at. So let's do number 9. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. I am no prophet, nor the son of one. From the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. What's another word to hearken? To listen. Exactly. So, to blank to the prophet that is speaking in his name. To listen. To pay attention. Now, I do recognize that, we don't really line up with the aspect of prophet as in the Old Testament. We do need to recognize that the term prophet does not mean forth saying of the Lord that this is going to happen. It doesn't have to be the predicting of the future. 90% of what we see prophets work in the Old Testament is thus saith the Lord. It's not any kind of prediction of the future. It is just the declaration of God's truth. You know, now we do have Isaiah and Daniel and certain ones like that, but would you say that this is a positive or a negative? Huh?
Positive.
Amen. And is this something that can be applied as we cross the bridge of relevancy from the Old Testament to the New Testament?
Yes.
Amen. We no longer see the idea of prophet, but what do we see today? The pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, Sunday school teachers. Listen up. God's put godly men and women in our life for a purpose, and he speaks to us. I believe that's the third. The third greatest way that the Lord speaks to us. I think the first is through his word. The second, being mixed with the first, is the Holy Spirit working together, and I guess you could say that they coincide with one another. But then third is the people that God put in our life. I mean, that God allows them to give wisdom and understanding, to confirm, to rebuke, to uplift, and we need to listen to the men and women of God around us. Any thoughts on that one? Okie dokie. Number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Now, what do you think that the word there is missing? Do not tempt, do not test the prophet unduly. The word unduly meaning there what is necessary. Now, would you say this? Which one is this? Positive, negative? Negative. Now, I'll be honest. Do you think that this is the right interpretation of this scripture? It's difficult, isn't it? Let's go to the passage and let's see what it says right here. We'll do one or two more after this. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Because it's almost like the Pope, or it could be like don't question God. When the man of God may not have the answer at that time, he can hit you with a don't question God, and that can shut it down real quick, can't it? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's read the verse before and after verse 16. It says, well, let's go to 14. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest go and possess the land, good land, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to cast out all the enemies before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Now, I don't read anything there about a prophet, do you? So, me not being a Jew, a Hebrew, not having the whole interpretation, I'm not going to say that it's flat out incorrect interpretation because I've not taken time to do a deeper study here. But it does seem like to me that it's a scripture used to basically limit how much you could press a so-called man of God. What do y'all think? I mean, and like I say, you know, men are men, whether they be God's men or not, and at times there'll be error. And I think we're living in a time where a lot of men, whether it be in the pulpit or in political sense or just in everyday life, we don't like to admit when we're wrong. You know, and so I think that this could be one that they've put in there to kindly lock it down. Gather the circle the wagons if it gets a little hot there. So is this one you think that if it's not correctly interpreted, then it's not one that we should seek to practice in our life? Not to say that the precept isn't right, but the precept isn't in that verse. You see what I mean? So that would negate anything for me about that specific law. Amen? When Moses, that's the only place I thought it could go.
But it's not Moses. The problem was the people, their intention towards the Lord.
Exactly. Okay, so it would be, the more interpretation is that you do not reject the commands of God. It would be more to that extent than it would be the prophet aspect part of it. Mm-hmm. They're questioning God. And they were rejecting God in that questioning. And see, that's what I'm saying. We could probably take it back all the way to Moses, because it would have been Moses' delivering the law that we know. But just in that verse right there, I do not see how they got that interpretation out of it. Amen? All right, two more. Somebody read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. Okay. The key part of this scripture is that last part. To keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and to do what? Walk in his ways. So I'll give you the first and the last letter, okay? E starts with an E and ends with an E. So, to look like. Emulate. There we go. See, we can play games too. We can have a good time here. To emulate. To mirror. So would this be a positive or a negative? A positive. Is it one that we're to practice in our daily walk? Yes. We bear the name Christian, right? And that means to be Christ-like. He came not just to be the sacrifice, not just to be our Savior, but He came to be the pattern. Amen. Amen. What did Paul say? Paul said, basically, emulate me as I emulate Christ. You know, and that's the goal. If we, and we must remember, someone's always watching. They're always looking. And you are somebody's hero. Did you know that? You're somebody's hero. Somebody wants to walk in your steps. They want to look like you. Want to talk like you. Want to? I know that's mind blowing, but it's the truth. It's the truth. So we agree that one is one to emulate. All right, let's go to 12. Good place to end. 12 tribes. Deuteronomy 10:20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. What do you think the empty word is there? It's in the verse. Cleave. Now what does the idea, what does cleave mean? To cling. Yeah, about like Velcro, man. I mean, that's about like the picture there. You know, we're told, what's the relationship that we think about on the earthly sense where we're to leave and cleave? Marriage. See, that's why these earthly relationships are so important, and the devil's attacking them, because it's through those relationships that God teaches about the way he loves us, the way that we're to interact with him. That's why he's so trying to destroy them. So to cleave to those who know him. Now, you don't agree with that one? Now, let's look at it. Let's go to verse 20 of chapter 10. Good one to wrap up on. And again now, it can be a good precept, but does the precept line up with the passage? All right, I'm going to read the one before and after. 19. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done thee these great things and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee and as the stars of the heaven for a multitude. Now, I would have to say, unless you include the verse before, then it's very difficult to even say that it has anything to do with someone else. Yeah. Well, yeah, it does. And remember, that's what. So out of the 12 right now, there's at least two that, while good precepts, not saying that there's anything wrong with them, the problem is that it seems to be a stretching or manipulation of a passage to try to get it to say what they wanted to say. And if you remember, these things have grown. The rabbis are the ones that established these. There would probably be a season where everything was good. Do you remember how, and you can go ahead and shut it down if you want to. Hold on to that paper, though, so we can keep going through a little bit of it. It's good to have Old Testament and New Testament. You know, like we're doing Galatians this morning. But do you remember how that the Pharisees